We're going to today continue our series, part three of Uncomfortable, what it means to be uncomfortable and how that feels. To me, the church is the greatest picture of what community is really all about, at least what community should be all about. It's one thing to get people with different talents and personalities to work together, you know, when they get a paycheck, and sometimes that's kind of dicey, isn't it? But yet, it's totally something else to get people with different talents and personalities to work together for free. You know, that's kind of what we do here at the church, hence the name nonprofit, right? But anyway, there's another joke in that anyway. But we're going to look today at a scripture, and we're going to talk about the body and how important the body is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, and I'm going to read from the New American Standard. It says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the unction of the Holy Spirit and for the manifestation of your presence here in our midst today. Lord, we thank you that we each bring God to church because the church is really the people, it's not the building. But Lord, we just corporately come together today seeking your divine wisdom and revelation for the things that pertain to us in life so we can live a life to glorify you. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for the words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've looked at this topic from several different angles a little bit on what it means to be uncomfortable. And some people have different personality traits, and some are better in crowds, and some are not. But anytime we put ourselves into a new situation, it's sort of uncomfortable from time to time. And the first point I want to look at today is that everybody is needed, especially in the body of Christ. We're all needed. Some people think, you know, they're the expendable crewman, that they're not really necessary if they show up. You know what I mean by the expendable crewman, right? I used to like to watch Star Trek, and whenever Captain Kirk would beam down to the planet and they had a new person that beamed down, you knew that person was going to die because they're not really in the show. They were what we called the expendable crewman. And see, nobody in the body of Christ is the expendable crewman. We all each have a very vital part to play in God's plan and what he wants us to do. Now, in our human body, all the different parts are needed, and they all have different functions for the most part. Now, I don't encourage this, but you don't eat with your toes, right? Some, you know, little kids can. I don't bend that way no more. But a little kid can put their foot in their mouth. We was riding down the Atemwe the other day, and with Dan and Lisa, when I went and picked up Jim, and Delaney was over there, she could actually bend her legs so far she could put her foot up in her face. And that just looked like it hurt to me, you know. But, you know, we don't eat with our toes. You know, and what I see is that God made our body, and it's a working miracle. I read an article the other day, and it mentioned some things about our human body, and some of you maybe know these things already. But, you know, the idea is how God made us, and it's just amazing what he has done. Now, our brain can hold 5 times as much information as the Encyclopedia Britannica. 5 times as much information. We have nerve impulses going through our body at 170 miles per hour. The human heart creates enough pressure, now this might gross some people out, but it can squirt blood for 30 feet. Now that's a pretty good shot. The pressure is needed to have that much pressure because the blood pushes through 60,000 miles of veins and arteries. And then our blood travels about 12,000 miles each day. Now, I suppose there's different scientific guys that say maybe different numbers, but I'm sure they're all up there. To me, that's amazing. how God made our body. You know, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than a creator. There's no way we could have evolved in that sort to that sort of creature, where a body can function in them sort of ways. And I didn't even go into the nerve impulses and different things that we have going on in our body. But I want us to see today that the body of Christ also is a great miracle. And to me, it's the local body where the magic happens. You know, the local body, when we start to do things and function as a together to reach a common goal. Because we got so many different personalities and so many different giftings all come together in one pile. And then to try to come together with one unified vision to be able to do something to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, the human body, the reason why it's created, it does all those things with the brain and all that and the blood, is because the human body tries to save itself, right? It has to do those things. The blood does so many things to keep us strong and healthy. But see, the body of Christ doesn't do it to save itself. The church does it because we want to save and benefit others. To me, that's a greater miracle. It's a greater miracle when we lay our lives down for other people. Now, it happens the best when we let Jesus Christ be the head of the body. Now, a lot of people don't like to take orders from people, and they don't even like to take orders from God. But the best thing we can do as a body is to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the head and let him take control. Now, as a pastor, you know, find great fulfillment when I look out and I see somebody step up to do something for the body of Christ just because Jesus told them to do it, not because I had to beg them. You know what I mean? I hate begging. That's the worst thing I hate about stuff, is having to ask people to help. What really blesses me is when people just see a need and they say, hey, I feel God telling me on the inside to maybe get involved with this, to do that. And I said, great, that's awesome. Let's go for it. You know, because that's when the head, Jesus Christ, is speaking to the body, which is you and I, and we accomplish great things together, and it's for his glory, because technically, if we really want to admit it, and which we should, this is Jesus' church. The body of Christ is Jesus' church. You know, we're River Life Family Worship Center, but yet we work for Jesus. And, you know, that's how we need to look at that, that he's in control. Now, it's a lot better than when I, you know, some people, they just kind of stubborn. And when, you know, Jesus talks to them, they said, talk to the hand. You know what I mean? They just say, talk to the hand. But see, Jesus wants to talk to the heart. He wants to get to the heart of the matter. And that's really what it's all about. And see, it's uncomfortable sometimes when you and I have to step out from the crowd and to get involved in something that we feel the Lord leading us to do. And there's a lot of examples we can look at. Now, things go wrong when you and I try to be the head. I don't know about you, but sometimes we poke ourselves in the eye. Have you ever done that? We poke ourselves in the eye, or maybe we kick ourselves when we're down. Have you ever had negative talk towards yourself, where you kick yourself while you're down? I'll never be able to do nothing. I'm no good. I can never accomplish that. See, God didn't create you to fail. God created you to succeed. He would never create a loser. God only creates winners. And see, it happens when you and I choose to listen to his plan for our life and see that, you know, we are called for something greater than what we're doing now. To me, what drew me to Christ, several things, but one thing was, is that I knew that I was placed on this planet to do more than I was doing then. Because I was doing things just for me. But I knew that God had saved me so many times from different issues in my life. So I knew that God must have some sort of plan. And I always knew that in my mind, God's plans are always greater than my plans. So that's when I started to pursue him and to try to find out exactly what he wanted me to do. Now, a couple weeks ago, we used the stone wall illustration. I want to come back to that a little bit. My mom and dad have a stone fireplace. And I always thought that was amazing, watching the bricklayer. He would lay the stones out on the floor because all the stones were different shapes and sizes, and some of them were kind of weird. But see, it's the weird ones that give the thing character. You know what I mean? Some of you guys are characters, aren't you? Praise God. Right? You know, we add that uniqueness to the wall. And see, when the stone layer, he lays those things out, he has to turn the stone in just different ways to make it to fit in the wall. Now, I personally, now other people may have other opinions, I personally like a stone wall better than brick, because I'm not really into the cookie cutter thing where every brick's just the same. To me, that's boring. I enjoy the stone. When I see a nice stone wall or a stone fireplace, I just think that's awesome. Because what happens is that you get those stones placed in that wall, and what gives them strength is when you mortar those stones together, and each stone carries its own personality, and they're interlocked, and they're fortified together by love. Now, when we choose to connect with other people, it can feel a little bit uncomfortable at first, especially. Once you get used to it, I remember when I first went to church, I was very nervous. I went to a large church. It's probably 1,000 or 1,500 people. I happened to live a couple blocks away. I knew I needed to change my life or I wasn't going to live much longer. So I ended up going down to that church. And the first time you walk in, you're just uncomfortable, because that really wasn't how I rolled. You know what I mean? I kind of rolled a different way. But when I went in there, I just knew there was something there, and it kept drawing me back. And before long, I started to get involved. And when I started to get involved, I started to see things change in my life. And see, that's the power of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, because when we choose to connect with others, we don't lose our identity, but we find our purpose. And I think most people, if they were really honest, they would like to know what their purpose is in life. Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? To me, it's more than just living, being born, finding a job or hopefully a career instead of a job, and then living and working that job until you die and go on. I believe God's created us for a greater purpose than that. Work is good. We need to work because we find fulfillment in doing something, accomplishing things. But I do believe that God has created us for something greater, because when we live on this planet and we just build this world here and we die, there's nothing to show for what we've done. But when we build God's kingdom, when we're a part of God's plan, and we tap into the plan that he has, you know, things start to change. Now, when we choose to go it alone, all we get is lonely. And that's why we need each other. That's why the purpose of church and community is so important. And getting involved with other people and finding people that you can hook up with and to be able to build the kingdom of God. Because the next point we want to look at is the idea of community. Because community can be hard. Now, that scripture talks about the idea of a Jew or a Greek or a Jew or a Gentile, whichever one translation you look at, a slave or free. You know, so inside that culture, there was, just like today, there was many different personalities and many different people coming together and coming into the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be uncomfortable when you come and you start to have to work with people who have a different opinion than you. I think that's true. You come together with people and they don't see things the way that you see it, but yet you have to get along with that person and work with them. That's why some people just work for themselves or stay away from other people. Is because they can't work with others. And over the years of building this church, spiritually and with people, you know, you run into people sometimes that do struggle working with others. I remember one time we were doing a major project, and there was somebody who didn't play well with others all the time. They were causing so much trouble in the group that I promoted them to work over by themselves. And to do a different project alone. Because they were bringing so much division. to the rest of the people. And it made it miserable for everybody else. So I promoted him. I promoted him out of the pile. You know what I mean? And sometimes you have to do that. Because what happens is, what we have to understand is, if we look at it from the proper perspective, is that we've been baptized by one Spirit into one body. And to me, that trumps everything. So when we come together, there has to be give and take. Just like in a marriage. If you're in a marriage and you think everything's going to go your way all the time, you may not be married very long. You know what I'm saying? Or if you are married, it's not going to be pleasant. Because when you come together with another person, you're going to have to work and you're going to have to compromise. And, you know, different nationalities. Now, I've traveled overseas some, and, you know, you run into different cultures and they just do it. Like, you know, technically for us, in our culture, a clock means something. You know what I mean? If you say you're going to be there at noon, hypothetically, most people are there at noon or a little bit before. But if you go to cultures maybe down in South America and stuff, noon is just kind of an idea. Sometimes they just kind of straggle in, and you know, they might be there at 2 or 3 o'clock because they're more social. They maybe got tied up talking to somebody. But see, that would be frustrating. Okay, we're going to be here at noon. We're going to start doing this. We're going to have lunch. I mean, you're sitting there, you're starving to death, right? Or you think you're starving to death. And they come rolling in a couple hours later. You get kind of irritated, wouldn't you? But see, love is the perfect bond of unity. Now, we could get mad, or we could just give it over to God and just kind of learn how to function with other people. You know, maybe there's different political beliefs. I know there's some people that I know would be very difficult to work with due to their political persuasion sometimes. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. But you can't bring that stuff into the body because it's going to bring division. And people are not going to get along together. And then you got social status. You know, some people have money and some people don't have a lot of money. But I'll be honest, what I love about the church, I love a lot of things, is the idea that we are all equal in God's eyes. And you need to remember that. Whether you have all kinds of money in the bank and you have a great job and you drive a great car, you live in a great house, versus somebody that maybe not have anything. When they come into this building, especially in this building, we are all equal. The person with money has no greater say than the person who doesn't have any money. Because in God's eyes, He doesn't look at what we have. He looks at our heart. And we have to remember that. And when you look at people, you shouldn't look how they're dressed. But you look at, just see who they are and who they come to matter. And so it doesn't really matter where we come from. What matters is where we're going, and we're all going to heaven. Amen? If we're born again. Okay. Now, so that means we need to check our differences at the door. Our citizenship is in heaven, is what the Bible says. That's really where we're connected. Now, as I got older, I wish I knew some of this stuff when I was in my 30s, but I didn't all the time. You know, now as I look back, like, I'm doing this parenting class. Man, I wish I knew this stuff then. You know, I just look back and, man, I'd like to do some of that stuff over. But I can't. So that's why I'm trying to help other people maybe not make the same mistakes I made. But one thing is, you can't assume that everybody sees things like you do. It took me years of marriage to figure this out. You know what I mean? I'm a slow learner in some things. Not everybody sees things the way that I see them. And that just, you know, once you wrap your head around it and you go into a situation and you look at it from those eyes instead of looking at it and saying, hey, why are you doing that? Well, they just see it differently. And so we have to learn to get along with those people. That's when we have to put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, the church is not full of perfect people, is it? I don't look at somebody right now and say, they're talking to you. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Hey, some people might be grouchy. Hopefully not the ushers and greeters, amen. We try to screen them the best we can. You know, but some people are grouchy. Have you ever been grouchy? I think we all have, right? Every now and then we get grouchy for whatever reason. Not God's best, but we're human. What I found out, and I really try to live by this, think the best and forget the rest. If you do that, you'll live a happy life, for the most part. Think the best about people and forget all the other junk. It's not really necessary, is it? When you come into community, into the body, you know, you can maybe have to overlook some of the ways they do things or why they do things the way they do. Why they say what they say, or, you know, things like that. Now, we're all growing. Hopefully, we'll grow out of that. That's the good thing about being in a body. And hopefully, iron sharpens iron. We rub off on each other and we help each other become better people. Because that's really what it's about. Because, you know, nobody's perfect. We all come into this world. And then through a process of things that go on in our life, we have issues. Everybody has issues. Everybody has, you know, I don't know if this is the right word, idiosyncrasies, all these little goofy things of why we look at life the way we do. We're all just weird. We're all stones. And we have different shapes. We have different sizes. We have all these things that we have to deal with. You know, I get a kick out of this, but, you know, when, you know, we try to do team teaching where we put, you know, different teachers kind of come together and they work together. And, you know, I know I shouldn't do this, because maybe it's my evil side, but I get a hoot out of it when I get somebody that's really organized. I mean, really organized. I mean, they're micro-organized about everything. And then somebody wants to work together with them that's not organized at all. Have you ever been down that road? I think we all have. You know, whichever side of the boat we're on that. You know, but I get a kick out of that. I just love watching that work out, how God does it. You say, well, that's mean. You want to see them hurt each other. No, that's not what I'm doing. Because what I'm doing and what I'm seeing is what I found out is that, number one, once we get past the uncomfortable part of that, is rapid growth happens in our life when we can walk in unity with people that are different than us. That's how we grow. Is when we can walk in unity with somebody totally different than us, and we can work with them for a common cause to glorify Jesus Christ, and we start to accomplish things for God's kingdom. That's how we grow. How boring would it be if we was with people that were just like us all the time? Oh yeah, you would never get in an argument or anything. And you know, that might be kind of nice sometimes, but we wouldn't help each other to become better. And really, I believe that's what God wants us to do. Because maturity, if we walk in maturity, it will choose to yield our preferences for the sake of harmony. Now, some people struggle with that. But sometimes when you're in a pile of people, I mean, how about, have you ever had 10 people try to choose a restaurant? Sometimes 2 people can't choose a restaurant, right? I remember one time when we lived in Denver, we had another couple we would go out with sometimes. And the wife couldn't make a decision for whatever reason to save her life. We was on I-25, which is the main interstate that goes north and south through Denver. And we was in their vehicle, so I had no control over the situation. And we were up north, and we drove maybe 10 or 15 miles, because it's, you know, Denver's big, and trying to make a decision where we were going to eat. Does this sound good? So we drive that direction. Ah, nah, that don't sound good. You know, and so we're sitting, my wife and I sitting back there, and we're just kind of going, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Let's just get a pizza or something, you know? I mean, let's just eat, you know? But it's hard sometimes. But what happens, what I see is when I'm in a pile of people, I choose to yield some of my preferences. Maybe I want a certain thing, but for the sake of getting along with the group, I don't have to have it my way. That's no big deal. I could eat something else today. I can always go eat what I want later. But what do we want to do? It's not what I want to do, but what do we want to do? And so that's why it's important that we're willing to deal with some of the things in our life, because I know it's easier if we're all the same, but the reason why it's better that we're not is the fact that you and I have blind spots. Now, when you're driving a car, you've probably noticed you have a blind spot. Usually the driver is right behind them, where the car behind them is not quite in that mirror. Have you ever kind of been cruising along and all of a sudden you're kind of, you know, driving, all of a sudden, whoosh, a car drives by. Man, you didn't see that car. But see, also in our life, in our emotions, and in our personalities, you and I have blind spots that we don't even know are there, hence the term blind spot, right? And what's great is that when you and I come together, like an organized and an unorganized person come together, well, usually the organized person's very detail-oriented with things, but the unorganized person is very social and wants to deal with people. Not all the time, but sometimes it's like that. Well, you need both. If you're teaching kids, you need somebody that's going to maybe relate to the kids versus just going through step one, step two, step three, step four, right? So that's why they both can help each other. When we work with people that are not like us, and what that does, it makes the community stronger. Now, so they help us with the blind spots. That brings me to the last point, is the idea that we're different, but yet we're all the same. Everybody listen to my voice, if you're a born-again Christian, we're united by one common thing, and that's the Spirit of God. We have that in common. And I'll be honest, now I'm just going to go out on a limb here. You know, I think if you're united in the Spirit, I think that will hold a lot of marriages together that sometimes are failing. Husbands and wives can make the problem of growing apart sometimes because they have different interests and different things they want to go after. But I believe if we have Jesus Christ as the common thing and we grow together in Christ, even though we may have different interests of social things, I believe your marriage can be strong. Because I've watched it. I've watched people who are strong in Christ, but yet they're totally opposites from each other, and they have a nice marriage. But then I've watched people who do not bring God into the house. They have God here, and that's good. That's halfway decent. But you need to take Jesus home with you, amen? So if you can get Jesus at home, that's going to hold you together because we're united by that. And that's what amazed me. You know, I'm Pentecostal. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe that, you know, that part of the Bible's real. But yet I've been with people who don't believe that way. But yet we have one thing in common. The Holy Spirit is still, you know, part of that one body. So I can, you know, get along, and I don't have to talk about that part of my relationship with God to prove myself. No. For the perfect bond of unity, I can walk in love with that brother and sister. They may be different. They may look at things different. But that's okay. We can still fellowship around Jesus Christ. And, you know, and that's one thing that I really enjoyed. I worked with a guy, and he was anti-me back in the day, and he was really strong and against the things of God, and you know, and he would always he carried this goofy little radio everywhere, and he'd always put on this dead radio program that was lifeless to me, but anyway, he liked listening to it, you know. And you know, for the sake, you know, he's always trying to, you know, kind of stick his thumb in my eye a little bit about the things of the Spirit and how it's not real and whatever. And finally I said, hey, let's just get along. I won't pick on you if you won't pick on me. Let's just find out what we have in common instead of find out what we have different from each other. And if we major on the things that are good, I think we can overlook a lot of the things that we disagree with. And I believe that's good because we find that common ground. And that's what it takes to walk in maturity, is to find that common ground. Yeah, we may not go out and hang all the time because it takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? To get along with somebody that's totally opposite in you. But for the most part, we can still get along. Here's what I see is that our common ground should be with each other in this room today, is that number one, we've all been changed. Right? If you're born again, you've been changed. Jesus Christ has come into your life and he's changed your life. And that's important. And to me, that ought to be enough, but yet there's more. To me, only the forgiven can extend forgiveness. When you see somebody walking in unforgiveness towards somebody, you know, it usually is a clue to me, and the bells and the whistles start to go off and saying, maybe you don't understand forgiveness. Because I'll tell you what, once you experience the forgiveness from God that we've been forgiven, it's only natural that we'd want to extend that forgiveness to another person. That's common ground. That's common ground that you and I can hold on to. And to me, only the free can bring freedom. A lot of people bound up by the things of the law and walking in religion. But see, once you've experienced freedom, man, and you see somebody that's all tied up, man, you want to just loose them and let them go. You don't want to see them all bound up all the time, looking like some sort of been drinking pickle juice and, you know what I mean, all just pouty-wowdy all the time, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and yada-da-da-da, you know. No, you want to say, hey, it's fun being a Christian. You know, it's awesome to find Christ and to be able to walk with Him. And also the idea, and I think a lot of us struggle with this sometimes, only those who have been accepted can offer acceptance. You know, we've all been accepted into the community, into the family of God, legally when we become a Christian. But some of us aren't really experiencing that. We need to see. Before I got saved, I want to say I maybe struggled with acceptance a little bit in my life. That was one of the things that Satan had tried to bring into my life, to try to keep me away from people, not feeling accepted, that maybe I wasn't maybe good enough. But when Jesus Christ turned that all around, then it made me look at things and it made me look at other people differently. So I could be more accepting because I've been accepted. Now I can be a host here, amen, in bringing people in. Y'all like to think of us as like a band of brothers. Some of you maybe watched some war movies, and I think there was a movie about that. But, you know, one thing about war is the fact that rich and poor people both march into battle and into war. And they each need each other to watch each other's back. And we need each other here in this body to watch each other's back, to help each other, to be there for each other. And yes, it's uncomfortable when you get involved with other people because you're putting yourself out there. When you're trying to be a friend, you want to be a friend, you got to be friendly. You know, and you're trying to get involved in other people's lives and you're afraid. I remember, you know, I've been saved so long, it's hard for me to remember some of this stuff, but you know, I remember my first few months, especially after I asked Jesus in my heart, you know, I was hanging around with these people that I thought were super Christians. You know what I mean? It seemed like they always knew the right thing to say and they always knew the right thing to do. And I didn't know. I was clueless. I hadn't really traveled in that world. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was uncomfortable for me because I just knew that I was going to say something wrong or I was going to do something wrong and they were not going to accept me anymore. But see, that was a lie from the devil. These guys were legit. They were real Christians. They weren't posers. So maybe if I messed up, they just overlooked that mess up. And they would encourage me to get up and go on. And see, that's what being a community is all about, is finding people that will have your back, that will be there in your life, and encourage you when you're down. Because that's very important. That's really what the body of Christ is supposed to be. I think we ought to have an idea that it's us against the world, at least the world system anyway, right? See, the world system, the god of this world, meaning Satan, he's trying to come in, and the last thing he wants is you and I to make community, to get together, and to try to find that perfect bond of unity and to walk in love and decide to roll up our sleeves and to try to get involved in other people's lives and to make them, you know, feel like they're a part of things and to reach out. But see, all the way, I think that, you know, I used to like them sword movies, the Musketeers, all for one and one for all. That's really what we need to be. I'm for you. Are you for me? That's what we need to be. I want you to succeed. I'm not in competition with you. You're part of my family. When you succeed, I succeed. And that's how we need to see life. Think the best and forget the rest. And start to walk in that power. See, it's a common cause that unites us. Number one, we're to win the lost and heal the found, right? Win the lost and heal the found. We reach out to those who don't know Jesus, and when we get them in here, then we try to bring healing to their lives and encouragement to their lives. Say, yes, you can do this. Why do you know that? Because I did it, and I'm nothing special. Jesus helped me to overcome a lot of obstacles in my life. He helped me to be better as a person, to be able to let go of some of the pain and the frailties and the things that was in my life, holding me back from being who I was supposed to be. And so, Ben, Jesus did it for me. I know that Jesus can do it for you. And I need to extend to you that grace to let him work in your life as he worked in my life. Amen? That's what we need to have. Win the lost and heal the found. Because what we do together is always better than what we do apart. And victory is always sweeter when we have someone to share it with. And as we choose to share it with each other, you know, I encourage you to take the next step in your walk with Christ and be willing to feel uncomfortable and being able to create community. Choose community over anything else. What amazes me is how much I can learn from an uncomfortable situation. Because what I understand more, when I understand more about other people, I start to understand more about myself. And I can start to walk in a deeper level of understanding and allow God to heal my life. Amen. Let's pray.